is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Warren McCartney is brought to you in part by Commonwealth Bank, Bell Monkey Foot Grill, Fidelity Bank, Hershey's Chocolates, Wendy's, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Burger King, Baja Retreat, and ISL Bahamas Limited, the developers of Swim, the stress-free click-declare software.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are today going to be doing a couple of things. We're going to be talking some current affairs. I want to talk this Jeff Lloyd issue. We're also going to, early in the show, have a sponsored segment that is actually kind of interesting. And we'll do that, and then we'll get back to some current affairs. But first and foremost, we want to send our prayers and a shout out to former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram, who's in hospital with COVID-19. Ingram's doing well from what we could gather from what his doctor says, and Dr. Dwayne Sands, one of his doctors, and he is clinically stable, all right, and in critical care area at Doctors Hospital East. Last night, Candia Dames, our executive editor, spoke with Ingram in hospital. And we have that conversation to play for you. A bit of it is muffled, but Candy is repeating what he is saying if you do have trouble hearing him. So let's listen to what Papa has to say. We gotta check in on Papa, make sure he's doing okay. We don't want to lose you, Papa. We need you here with us. All right. So this is Ingram talking to Candy Adams. Let's play it. It's about 5-6 minutes. Let's play it, and then we'll circle back.
Correctly, but you are making the point. You said you went to the doctor.
Yes, I went to the doctor before I got tested. I went to the doctor and he determined that I had bronchitis. So he gave me a set of medications, and I still had to take them. I didn't feel right. One of the persons in the office said, "Have you had a COVID test?" I said, "No." They said, "Well, I don't think you might have a COVID test. We should, get a COVID test, and we can talk to the inventory maid, and then we come to the house to test you and your wife."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Fine, no problem." And they came, they tested, they called the last several hours in and said, "My wife and myself both tested positive."
What goes through your mind when you hear that?
I took a very nice view at that stage because I was comfortable with the advice I got from my doctor, Dr. Moss. And I went and I did all the tests of the heart and the x-rays and whatnot, and they all came out fine. And then I continued to have discomfort, mostly in urinating. I was urinating a lot, but very little. And so that became very discomforting. You got tired when you got up, and that meant I got up really often. So I figured we might do something. So determined then that we want to wait for the 10 days, and let's see what happens. So we can test and see what else happens.
And you went into the hospital on the 10th. You went in to get checked out on the 10th day, and that's when you were admitted. Correct?
Yes.
And how is Mrs. Ingram? She's doing fine?
She's been wonderful. She was the one I expected to be more than I am. But she was looking after me for the last 10 days. She's been wonderful.
And you said to me earlier that you feel much better now?
I feel much better now. All the vital signs are very good. All the vital signs are good so far. And they've been doing tests and blood sampling and blood muscle from the FDA.
Okay, well, we're happy to know that you feel much better. And I mean, is there anything you want to add before you go back to resting? You sound a little, you faded into being a little muffled again. I don't know if your phone. Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure I have, and you said you confirmed as well that there were certain others around you who also tested positive.
That's true.
Okay, how are they doing?
I am the only one who has had to come to the hospital.
But again, I mean, your experience reminds us that COVID is very real and that it can impact anyone.
No question about that. If somebody knew my life, what I do and don't do, I leave my office, my house in the morning, around 10:30, 11 o'clock. I go to my office. I spend hours there until about 4:30. I go back home. I go nowhere. I did one thing. I went to my barber some weeks ago.
Barber?
Yeah, several weeks ago. But I mean that's before. I have no connection. I have no reason to leave it the next day, right? And I've been in the pharmacy twice in the last year. I have not been to the food store. I've not traveled anywhere. You've not been to the food store? Not in the last year, no. I stopped that. Not in the food store, no travel, no food store.
You've been in the pharmacy twice.
No pictures, no pictures at all. And kept the mask on when I was outside my house.
Wow. So
I have no idea what could have happened.
You already have COVID, and I know that there's some interesting science behind the whole thing, but have you given any thought to whether you are going to get the vaccine?
Oh, there's no question I'll get the vaccine.
Okay.
I got the vaccine whether I got COVID or not. As long as it's available to me, yes, ma'am, absolutely, possibly.
Okay. All right. Well, you sound good, so we wish you well, Ms. Ingram, and we look forward to hearing of a speedy recovery and for Mrs. Ingram as well.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So you
said you told me your doctor's east, not west, east.
Hello?
Your doctor's east.
Yes, doctor's east.
You said you're being assisted by oxygen? Okay, you're taking a near. I'm just asking you the same thing over and over because you're muffled for some reason. Okay, so you're on oxygen. Okay. All right, well, thank you for that update. We appreciate.
Thank you, Sandra.
You did say you were on oxygen, right? You came back in.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, but at my house, the last several days, I was already taking oxygen.
Oh, you were already taking oxygen. How long have you been in the hospital?
Yesterday.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I thank you. I thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
All right. That was Papa reporting from Doctor's Hospital East about his condition. It says, man, you let me down yesterday defending that woman. Listen, don't send me stupid stuff like this, okay? I'm not here to let you down or pick you up, all right? Don't do that to me, all right? Seriously, I'm speaking directly to you. Don't do that to me. I'm not here for that, right? You deal with how you feel about an issue, and I'll feel how I feel about an issue. I'm not here to co-sign your feelings on anything, all right? So please, don't mess with me early in the show on some nonsense. I make up my own mind how I feel about whatever I feel based on the facts I'm looking at and the set of circumstances. You are your own human being. You go and you make your determinations about how you feel about things based on the circumstances. Please, please, please think for yourself and allow me the freedom to do the same, all right? Please, don't do that to me, all right? I don't appreciate it at all. You weigh in how you feel about something, and you say why you feel a certain way. It ain't for me to let you down because I don't agree with how you feel. That's nonsense, all right? Make me vex early in the show. Now, let's move on, all right? Let me ask you a question. Why y'all want to come for Jeff Lloyd? Like, what is it? Why y'all want to come for the chief? Why? Right? So there's... Jeff Lloyd said on a statement yesterday that says he's aware of a voice note. Let me see if I could do it. Okay, let me pull up the statement. Statement by Minister... Statement by Jeffrey L. Lloyd, Minister of Education, February 24th, 2021. A voice note has circulated on social media accusing me that a contractor who was once supposedly awarded a government building contract had constructed for free a home owned by me. The note further alleges that materials from the supposed contract were used in the construction of the home. Each and every accusation is groundless and completely false. At no time and under no circumstance did I receive anything free from anybody in any construction undertaken on my behalf. Everything done for on my behalf or that of my wife, including all labor, materials, and advice, were paid for in full by me and my wife. It is detestable that false, damning accusations without fact or foundation can be made against public servants. Consequently, I have given my attorneys firm instructions that the perpetrators of these slanderous accusations against me and my wife be prosecuted to full judgment in a court of law. All right, so now you're saying that Jeff Lloyd is corrupt because he's building a house. So can you build a house anymore and be in politics and not be a thieving, corrupt swine? Can you build a home like most Bahamians who are able to save money and qualify for a mortgage actually do? I also see you guys are saying, and I don't mind saying it because I'm saying it to say that I think it's nonsense unless you can show me some receipts, all right? You're also sending me pictures of, or a meme of some sort of photo from a hill out east, and you're saying Shannon Dawn Cartwright is building a mansion on the Eastern Road because there's some crusty old foundation in a lot that looks like it hasn't been cleared in a while. And you say, without proof, that Shannon Dawn Cartwright is now some sort of thief and crook because this picture that we don't know where you got it from is supposedly the foundation of a home that Shannon Dawn Cartwright is building. So, first of all, if the man is building a house, so what? That's what I don't get. So what? He's building a house. Does that mean he's some sort of crooked swine that he's building a house and he so happens to be in politics? Is it not his right to go build a house? You know, these are people who are public officials, yes, but you don't automatically get to degrade them and humiliate them and talk all kind of craziness about them in front of their families and people who know them just because it's fun for you. So the story is that Jeff would have to have bucked every single thing I know about him in terms of his intelligence to have this happen. So the story you guys are putting out is that Jeff, and if I'm caping for Jeff, I'm caping for Jeff. It is what it is, because I don't know Jeff to be a complete idiot. So the story is that Jeff, by himself, mind you, awarded a massive contract to a contractor with the caveat that the contractor is going to build him a house for free. Now, Jeff would have to be really, really dumb to make that happen, and so would the contractor. Let's establish a few things. Jeff, or Lanisha Roll, or Shannon Don Cartwright, him in particular, cannot approve any contract over $50,000 without going to the tenders board. The tenders board being the cabinet of the Bahamas. So if Jeff has some sort of bogus contract, then that would indict the entire cabinet having approved whatever contract that is. Then you have to get the Ministry of Public Works. Now, there's ways to be slack about things, as we see with the NIB audit, right? Then you got to get the Ministry of Public Works involved and the Ministry of Finance for these supposed contracts. You guys have such a field day smearing people on air. On air. The story is, you're saying one person who's in politics took out a $300,000 loan at a credit union. This is the story now. Then bought a $260,000 piece of property with taxes or whatever like that. And then they're building a mansion somewhere out west. And you just take that and fill in the blanks with whatever corruption you have, right? And you put anything on them. A friend of mine who's a black businessman said he's dealt with this his entire career. He said if you build anything in the Bahamas and you're black, the other black people say that you're a crook. Or they say that you're fronting for the white people who are crooks themselves. And therefore, we never, ever get anywhere because all we ever do is call each other corrupt and crooks. And we can't have anything because to have anything means that you're some sort of criminal. So now you want to say that Jeff Lloyd is having contractors build him a house for free. Jeff can't own a house. Jeff can't build a house. Jeff's a drooling moron. Jeff doesn't have a wife who has a career. Jeff hasn't had a career for decades and decades and decades. When I knew Jeff, he had about three houses when I met him. All right. In fact, I almost bought one of his houses, his old house. So leave these people alone. All right. Unless you have receipts. Right now, if you have receipts and a perfect trail and everything like that, but if all you have is innuendo and you spread it around as fast as lightning to smear people, to call people crooks, you'd have no care for their name, their reputation, none of that. I would be interested in how you would feel had it been done to you. People, we got an interview coming up here in a moment. People often tell me, well, what about freedom of speech? What happened to freedom of speech? We should be able to say it and he should be able to deny it. No, that's not how slander works. You can't defend your defamation of someone. You can't defend libeling someone. You're saying the man is a thief. That he's broken the law and violated his oath of office. Because he's working with the education contractor. You have no proof of this. The education contractor, supposed education contractor, come forward and have some conversation? Did he go to the police? Or you just feel comfortable doing it on social media? So, again, this tit for tat doesn't make sense, particularly in light of, and I don't know who's doing it, but particularly in light of the leader of the opposition saying that he doesn't want to run a garbage juice campaign. He doesn't want to indict people. He doesn't want people to attack people with frivolity and nonsense. All right? And the FNM's no better. They got a guy who made some video about, some homophobic video about Fred Mitchell and another, and a guy who's supposedly in the PLP war room. And for what? Because you don't like Fred Mitchell? Because you can't debate him on ideas? You wanna just throw your homophobia at him? Is this the best we can do? This is who we are? This is as much as we can muster in the body politic in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So what about free speech? How about I say something about you without any evidence, without any backup? You feel as though since they're a public figure, you can just say anything about them and it's perfectly fine. And it's nonsense. All right? How about I call you a rapist? Or if you're married, talk about how you like little boys or something like this. How about I look at you, Bill something, and call you a thief because you couldn't do it on your own. You couldn't possibly manage your money and your affairs properly and plan out your life. That can't happen. Only a thief could do it because that's the level that you think on because you can't do it, because you can't achieve it, accomplish it, make it happen. It's pretty nonsensical. All right, let's... So no MP can build a house. So those are the new rules we're operating under. We're going to take a break and then we can get to the... Is that fine? We take a break and then the call? Or what? Yeah. We'll take it. We'll take the break. I don't want to jump right into them with all that. I'm going to take a little cooling off period. Here's the new rule before we take a break. No sitting MP can build a house. Or you're a thief. I don't want to see none of y'all building no house, buying no property, nothing. I want y'all living in squalor. Don't aspire to nothing. Don't do nothing. Don't buy no new car. No, if your TV too big, you're teefing. I got a problem with it. You guys are incredible. Let's go take a break. We'll be back.
Of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Westridge, Atlantic Drive, and Twin Lakes that due to system upgrades, they will experience no water from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. on Thursday, February 25, 2021. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
You've tried everything. ASUS with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie, and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bs.
Protection for your money guaranteed with DIC.
Looking for plenty food and you're on a budget?
Wait, I'm break.
Stop into Wendy's and grab our latest bundle.
Introducing the Biggie Bag.
With the new Biggie Bag, you get a Dave Singles,
Junior Fries,
regular drink,
and
four-piece nuggets for only $7.25, fat inclusive. Add an apple pie for just $1 more.
Now that's a deal.
What on also hook up, eh?
It's the best on these streets. Available at all locations. Restrictions apply. Wendy's, different inside and out.
When King Hatchet was a hammer, customs clearance was a drag. Those numbers and forms left you holding the bag. But today is a new day. There's no need to fear. Start clearing customs digitally with SWIM software. The best customs clearance software by ISL Bahamas Limited. It's easy. Just give SWIM your invoices and it automatically calculates landed fees, assigns tariffs, and transmits accurately to customs in seconds. Now, completing air manifests and cargo calculations in half the time is as fun as a day at the beach. Brokers, importers, shippers, couriers, are you drowning in an ocean of customs clearance mayhem? Relax and dive into SWIM. Call 356-5592 or visit islbahamas.com to start saving time and money with SWIM, the stress-free click-to-clear software.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Today, we're going to be speaking with Lionel Turnquest from the Nassau Cruise Port about the Bahama Society of Engineers and Beta Camp to increase awareness of a series of engineering presentations they're hosting this week for students from grades 6 to 12. So, Director of Projects and Facilities, Lionel Turnquest, joins us on The Revolution. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Good afternoon, McCartney. It's also myself and Quentin Knowles, who's actually the president of the Bahama Society of Engineers.
Oh, excellent. Great. Okay, so
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Welcome to The Revolution. Tell us about this initiative that's going on.
All right. Well, we're calling it National Engineers Week. Essentially E-Week for short. Okay. But basically, it's dedicated to ensuring a well-educated and well-diverse engineering workforce in the future. And the way we accomplish such a goal is to try and reach out to the students as early as we can, students in high school, primary schools, middle schools. And right now, the way we are going about accomplishing that is we have approached the Ministry of Education, and we have set up a series of sessions to talk and make presentations to school students all over the country. Currently, there's probably one going on right now. Mm-hmm. We have 15 engineers who will be presenting at 22 spots over the week. And we are presenting to 27 schools.
Excellent. So what do you tell the kids about engineering? Like, first of all, what do you got to be interested in to be an engineer? Because I used to think of engineering as a very narrow, incredibly specific technical field. And as I got older and went into the working world, I understood that engineering really runs the gamut among things that are out there. If you want to successfully build anything physically, electronically, et cetera, you need yourself an engineer.
Well, in a nutshell, we've asked our engineers to, you know, keep it simple. We want to let the high school students and the teachers alike, and maybe even some of their parents, to know, hey, what is an engineer? What do engineers do? What is the day in the life of an engineer? And also, what does it take to become an engineer? What's the preparation? What do you need to study? Whether you're good at math and sciences and things of that nature. And we also try to give it a personal touch. We want all engineers, particularly people who work in the Bahamas, to put a face to a profession and to indicate that, look, this is what engineers here locally does, but not just to limit to the Bahamas. We have engineers who are out of the U.S., and I think there's one in Jamaica, who are locally connected, to give an international flavor. So we can basically, we want to show what the engineering world is all about. And it's vast. Like you said, it's a vast field.
Excellent. So when are we, which schools are you going to? Where are the presentations happening? Are they virtual? Are they in person?
Well, practically all the government schools are involved. I think there might be one or two that are not. There are 27 schools, and we are leveraging the online learning platform. So the pandemic has really been an opportunity for us. We would not have been able to make this level of presentation to reach this many students, because this is not our first Engineers Week. We had one last year, February, where we presented to, I believe it was 10 schools, and Lionel was presenting in one of the sessions, and maybe he can expand on that a little bit. But this year, we're leveraging the online learning platform through our coordination and efforts with the Ministry of Education and the counselors. They've been very, very helpful, and we're all very excited about it.
Excellent. So, Mr. Turnquest, tell us, what do you got to be good at if you want to be an engineer?
Well, I heard your statement earlier. you know, it's interesting. You know, the first thing that people would say is the STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. If you're interested in those areas, then you qualify, or quote unquote, qualify to be an engineer. But I always tell the story that, you know, when I graduated from high school, that was not my first choice. Mm. I didn't know I was going to go into engineering. Actually, my first choice was law because, you know, one time ago, everybody wanted to be either a doctor, lawyer, or accountant. And I think that may still be hold true at some point now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I joined COB and I went to COB studying business administration. And in my year, I had a discussion. And the discussion was, what do you love? What triggers you? And truthfully, it was I'm good at math. I like the construction field. I like to see things go up. So what am I doing going into a different profession? So, you know, even though you may not at this point in a student's career realize what they want to do, it doesn't turn you away from it. You may not have been in that or in those classes at the time, but it's not something that you can say that you cannot do, even if you made a choice at a later date. So I always try to advocate to students: don't look at where you are now. Look at where you want to go.
Right.
It's something that once you want to achieve something, you put your mind to it, you can achieve it.
Yeah, and the demand for engineers is increasing, and particularly here at home, the Minister of Public Works, successive ministers of public works, they always talk about how they can't fill the engineering jobs at the ministry, or they can't keep the engineers they have there because the private sector lures them away, and that's part of the reason that things aren't always going as smoothly at the Department of Works.
Exactly. The profession is in demand. It's been in demand worldwide. So even if you decide to go into the engineering profession, you think that it limits you. It does not limit you to be here. Especially in the new world where we now everybody's working virtually. You literally could be working on a project on another side of the world, making designs on another side of the world, reviewing your project on another side of the world, and be sitting right here at home in the Bahamas. I found that actually in the past year at the NASA cruise port is something we had to adjust to over the period of the COVID as we were doing the designs for this project last year, that we had to get adjusted to working virtually. Normally you have design review meetings, these type of stuff, things happening in a room where multiple engineers are sitting around drawings, reviewing them, going back and forth on problems, et cetera, being able to mark up as you go. And that's something you had to change and you had to get used to. And you know, digital files of that nature, when I talk about drawing files, are very large. So it was a challenge, but you've learned to adjust and adapt to it. And so you now under this new the new norm, you realize that you can do everything from afar. And although there are some things you would say would need to be hand-on, it is a profession that I think it's a noble profession and that will be in demand, not just now, but moving forward. I think COVID has also led to that. You know, we talk about all the health professionals and all that they do. And, you know, they're the champions of the COVID response, but we don't recognize that there are people in the background that are supporting them. And those persons in the background are making sure their systems are working and the systems are adjusted to meet certain criteria. Buildings are being built to house people. Things like that are happening that all require engineers in the background.
Excellent.
And the rest of the support staff.
Excellent. So tell us where parents, students can go to find out more about eWeek and to find out more about the Bahamas Society of Engineers.
Well, we're leveraging the Ministry of Education and the counselors. We thought it best to be as effective and efficient as we possibly can by approaching the Ministry of Education and working with the counselors so we can set up the different sessions. So essentially how it worked was once we've identified a presenter and we link a presenter with a school and we're given a, you know, in this virtual world that we live in, a link on which a presenter can log on to, make their presentations, interact with the students as a teacher would. And it's going very well. It's working extremely well. So if there are any parents interested, they just have to hook up with their counselors. But we have been presenting all week. So I suspect I haven't got all the numbers, but I think we've reached quite a few, at least in the government school sector. So,
excellent.
But just to piggyback a little bit on what Lionel was saying in regards to the Ministry of Works, we do have Ministry of Works presenters, you know, engineers making presentations. So we kind of brought the whole industry together in this effort.
Excellent. Good stuff. Okay, gentlemen, anything else they should know out there, the listening public, before we go?
Well, I will say that one of the two things I would say. Firstly, you can look on our Facebook page for Bahamas Society of Engineers to get more information on that. And also would like to say that, you know, we are partnering with a number of partners, which is Ministry of Works. It's the Beta Camp, it's Bahamas Society of Engineers, Ministry of Education, and also Nassau Cruise Port. And would you have heard all the sponsors in this understand that we have world-class talent here in the Bahamas, and we want to maintain that world-class talent. So there's a need to pass on our experiences and the knowledge that we have gained. And so we have to start garnishing students into that. And so as a team, we hope to continue to develop our industry locally and stay at the cutting edge of the engineering profession.
Excellent. So good stuff. Right. Gentlemen, I thank you so very much for coming on and telling us about eWeek and the Bahamas Society of Engineers. It's an excellent, excellent initiative.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. You take care out there.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Nassau Cruise Port and the Bahamas Society of Engineers talking about Engineering Week. That's good. Get kids interested in a different career path. You need this stuff, you know. There's a fella named Rabbit, right? Well, we called him Rabbit. I don't know what his name is. But Rabbit was, how do I say this? A bush mechanic. Let me put it like that, right? But not your average bush mechanic, because Rabbit, I don't know if Rabbit's still alive. Rabbit was a drug addict, okay? And Rabbit grew up in poverty, was so smart when he went to school that he got a full scholarship to one of the best engineering schools. If it wasn't MIT, it was something else. It was something like that. One of the best engineering schools in the United States of America in the 80s, okay? The early 80s. A full ride scholarship. He was so smart. Little black boy from the ghetto, right? From the hood. And Rabbit got hooked on drugs when he went to America, okay? And he flopped out of school because you can't usually be addicted to drugs and successfully complete an engineering program because they're tough. And Rabbit came back here, and Rabbit could fix an airplane engine. And people used to take their car to Rabbit. Rabbit knew how to reformat parts. Rabbit knew how to work the machine, the machines to design the parts, to drill down the parts. All right? We lost so many great people, so many great minds to drugs. It's mind-blowing. But I say that to say that you can dream bigger than your current circumstance. So if you like messing with cars, if you like building things, if you like construction, etc., you may step that up and pursue engineering. It could be very lucrative for you. All right. Most times when you have plans that need to be approved, an engineer has to sign off on them, approve them. There's a great deal of engineering going on, particularly in the construction field. So it's something to look into. All right. A couple of text messages. It says, bro, you sound like an apologist for these members of parliament. Why don't you just investigate? That's your job. Then talk. Come on. Why are you defending these people? Investigate what? Investigate what? You got something to investigate? Jeff says that the voice note isn't true. Now, do you have some evidence to go on? Where does the investigation start? You tell me. I'm not any sort of apologist for people. It's just that too many of us are bad mind out here, like the Jamaicans say. Right? You want to think the worst of everyone and have no proof and just say anything you want about anyone. And I'm not with it. And if you think that's what I'm here for, it's not. I deal with verifiable data. That's what I deal with. As wild as you may think I am, you'll never hear me come and just make up something about anybody or lie on anybody. I don't do it. I come with facts. I come with receipts. Now, you're making the accusation against Jeff. You go prove it. Prove it. And you got to do more than saying he has a house. I have a house. Well, y'all lie on me too, but I can't steal. I don't have access to public funds. I have a house. I built the house, me and my wife. We're not rich. We're not politicians. Right? We went and got a mortgage, did the best we could, save where we could, sacrifice where we could. All right. It says, blessings, one, man, it is accusations like the ones we hear over and over again that grieves my spirit, and it don't matter who's the government of the day. Somebody always gets judged and tarnished without due consideration. I believe this is what causes some folks to stay away from making national contributions to the nation because it burdens down their families and demonizes their loved ones. Yeah, you got to have, I mean, listen, you got to have thick skin to go into politics, right? But is it even sensible to just throw an accusation against somebody? First of all, if they're building a house, you may ask, okay, well, how is it that you're building this house? You have XYZ. That's something you may look at a party. That's something the public may have questions about. And you go explain, here's what I did. Here's XYZ. All right? If you feel like you need to explain. But if not, it is still, at the end of the day, your personal business. Now, until you can bring me some contractor or show me some evidence or some court case or some charge that's going on against these people, I'm not going to participate in this narrative of everyone's a thief. All right? I'm not going to do it to the PLP. I'm not going to do it to the FNM. I'm not going to do it to the DNA. Do you guys work hard enough on our behalf? I don't think so in a lot of cases. Have you done right by us as a nation, as a whole, in terms of making things better for the majority of people on pace with what we see in other countries? I don't think so. But I'm not going to label you with everything. I'm not going to do it. I don't like it when people do it to me. I don't like it when people do it to other people. I'm not going to participate in it. That's just me. You guys feel do what you like to do, and I'll do what I'm into. And we'll leave it because I'm grown. All right? And we'll leave it at that. We'll be right back on the other side.
God, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We were talking about who's billing house and who's supposed to be thieving. We'll continue that if you want with your texts and calls if you'd like. But have there been people who've been in political office who've done dirt? Sure. Right? But that you guys are anything new or anything they achieve or have or get while in office, that you label it to corruption. These are heavy charges with people name y'all playing with. Without proof. People just, they like lie. That's it. You lie and you can drive is what it is. It's the pervasive thing out here. When I first started going out with my wife called me. She was young, so I was patient. I like them young, you know what I'm saying? Not that young. But I like them younger than me. So she was young. She called me. I don't mind telling this story. She called me and she's like, oh, where are you? I was like, I'm home. You know what I mean? So she's like, oh, you're not. Where did you just come from? I was like, I'm sorry. Do you want a report for the day? Do you, you know what I'm saying? What are you doing? Why? What is it? Right? Oh, someone told my sister that they saw you in a car, in your car, with another woman. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know I wasn't allowed to be in my car with another woman. I didn't know that was a thing, but since we've introduced that dynamic to this relationship, right? So, secondly, I've been home all day. And she was like, well, why would they lie to my sister? I was like, I don't know, but they lying. I don't know. I don't know. Why is water wet? Why people lie? People lie about anything. You know, they'll lie about anything. They'll steal anything. I've learned this in life, right? So I don't know what y'all lying for. Why would they lie about Jeff and Shannon? Because they like lie. It's what they do. They wake up and they breathe. I'm going to go lie today. Here's what I'm going to wake up, brush my teeth, start lying right away. That's the order of my day today, right? Got to make sure I'm lying. I can't go to bed without lying on somebody. How will I do that? Let me just make up a lie. Who do I feel like lying on today? All right. Bring me proof, right? Bring me proof, and we'll talk. All right. So I want to talk about this real quick. This story says, review would determine if value-added tax could be reduced. Davis clarifies. Okay. Story by the beautiful Paige McCartney. Progressive Liberal Party leader Philip Brave Davis yesterday clarified that the review of value-added tax he would undertake if elected to office would be to determine whether the consumer tax could be lowered from the current 12%. Okay, Brave. I sound like you need to stop talking about this. Okay, this says, Davis said last week the tax reform is on his party's agenda should it form the next government. He said he would cause a review to determine if that is still appropriate for the Bahamas given the current state of the economy, a position that was criticized by Minister of State for Finance, Kwesi Thompson, as being politically motivated. When asked what his motivation behind a tax review was, Davis said, quote, that will be determined from the outcome of that review, but it would be our intent to see how we can alleviate some of the burdens on the Bahamian people, and consequent to that is looking at it to see whether it can be lowered. But our ultimate goal is to see how we can alleviate the burden that now exists upon the Bahamian people. All right, Davis, I kind of was looking at this as like a serious policy consideration, but you got me looking at it sideways now. This says, Davis said, first of all, when value-added tax was suggested at 15%, we did a complete analysis of what I call the fundamentals of our economy, and we recognize that revenues can be had otherwise than going to 15%. Hence, we struck where we could arrive at 7.5% after talking to stakeholders. In the business community, Chamber of Commerce, and all stakeholders, where we arrived at this compromise of 7.5%, which we felt would have been accurate. So going forward, no, he said, we felt that the VAT regime was the appropriate regime for the tax structure. We understood what that would have meant for the ordinary Bahamian. So what we did is collaboration with that VAT is we increased the minimum wage to assist those at that level. We also reduced import duty on a number of items so as to ensure that the rate of new tax would be cushioned by those initiatives for the ordinary Bahamian. So going forward, what we say is that we would review again to see what the present circumstances are. So yes, 10 years ago, those circumstances were such that it was being recommended at 15%. We recognize in those circumstances, 7.5% would have been accurate. What are the circumstances today? That is what we are going to review to see what the circumstances today would dictate to ensure that we have sufficient revenues to provide the services the government is required to provide to its citizens. One of the key elements would be included in that review is how we grow the economy. All right, so that doesn't sound like he's committed to doing nothing. So let me help you out, Brave Davis, if you form the next government. However many hundreds of thousands of dollars you will pay to have that review undertaken, save your money. You come pay me, right? I'll charge you this advice. You can get it for free now. Normally I would charge you, I'd just charge you 20 grand for this. How about that? Nice round number, all right? You can do whatever you want to the VAT rate. Right away. You can reduce it. You can increase it. You can eliminate it. The exact same way, and in fact with greater ease, in which you implemented it. You have the power to tax as a government, and you could do whatever you want with these taxes. I don't know what your review is going to show. What I would suggest is you just have someone with some economic sense sit down and advise you. All right? I don't know why you got to pay anybody to review anything or who's going to review what. You're trying to alleviate the burden on the Bahamian people. That doesn't necessarily mean lowering the VAT rate. Although I do think, ultimately, it should be lowered. However, you're going to have to consider, and very seriously now, Davis, and I know you're not slapping up for the most part. Your intentions appear sensible, right? You want to alleviate suffering on the Bahamian people. Now, you got to consider this, that the economy is not at a place, and certainly wouldn't be in a place, even if the election were held next year, that the opportunity is there for everyone to get sufficient employment. It wasn't there before, so it certainly won't be there next year. It's conclusively not there now, and probably won't be there next year. It's not at a place for everyone who wants employment to get it, or to get enough employment to sustain themselves. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on the government, all right? So what you're going to find yourself doing if you're elected is having to supplement the income of lots and lots of Bahamians, okay? Now, you can't go fiddling around with your revenue-generating mechanisms, take in less money, and still figure you can support people. And in fact, you're saying, you repeatedly say, you, Jessica Cooper, others, repeatedly say that the government's not doing enough. So you're suggesting that you're going to do more. You can't do that without either continuing to have a robust tax base or borrowing, and borrowing at rates that you guys are saying are too high. Your debt restructuring is not going to be as simple as you think. So you're going to have to start getting real serious about these considerations. I don't know that you needed to ventilate more on what you're talking about looking at reducing value-added tax, but my suggestion to you would be for now to take in as much revenue as you can in a sensible manner, because you're going to have to assist Bahamians in the short to medium term, and that's going to mean government revenue's got to come in. All right. In fact, if I were you, and I'm not trying to give you ideas here, what I would review and what can be done rather quickly is removing the that, I don't want to say ceiling, the VAT floor, right, is lowering it in terms of BPL bills and water and sewage bills. Yeah? So right now, I believe it's if your bill is under $300 before, if your bill comes on under $300 with the regular, with the rates and with the fuel charge, then they don't charge you VAT. All right? Now, if you eliminate that, then you get yourself some more revenue. And I say it to say this. I really don't want to give you all no more money, but I'm going to look at it in practical terms. All right? My bills have gone somewhat lower because the fuel charge is now lower. The fuel charge has been lowered for several months, and then the usage has dropped, so a lot of light bills are lower. And so for the first time in a long time, I think my bill came in at $290-something. I was under the $300. You know what? I got to see if they charge me VAT, actually. I'm not sure. Let me check. So technically, I'm not supposed to be paying VAT on that bill. But I'm so used to paying VAT on it that it's not going to really impact me that much. Let me see if I can pull up my light bill here. So you would capture a lot more VAT if you did that with light bills. And you go, oh, the poor people. And I agree, the poor people. I told you all that when you implemented VAT, right? But let's see here. All right. I'm going to try to pull up my bill. By the way, BPL, I got to say, you got to have people answer the phone. I know you think people are answering the phone. They're not. All right? You gotta work it out. This is, okay. One, no, that's the bill at my mom's house. Right, well, let me look at it. Okay, so no, they don't charge me VAT on this. They didn't charge me VAT there. And this is the bill at my house. They didn't charge me VAT on this either because I came in under 300. Yep, so you're losing the VAT money. So you're going to find that as light bills go lower, you're going to lose certain revenues as well. I'm not trying to give you ideas. I don't want to give you any more money. But those are some avenues you could look at immediately in order to boost your revenue collection. All right? Because you're going to need money if you're going to take care of people. You can't. Let's not front, right? And I'm not saying you're intentionally doing this. But let's not front. You're going to need money in order to help people. You can't help people and lower taxes and stop the bar. You can't do it all at once. You're going to have to think it through properly and go from there. While I'm complaining to BPL, I might send a note to the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas. Let me say this. I'll take the call. Give me 1 second. Let's write our letter to the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas. Dear Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, it makes no logical sense for me being an existing customer of my insurance company to have to fill out a Know Your Customer form in order to renew my policy. Let me say that again. Dear Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, it makes no logical sense for me as an existing customer of my insurance company to have to fill out a Know Your Customer form, an additional one, in order to renew my existing insurance policy. It is, in fact, not required by law that I do so. Yet, you are making me do it in order to renew my existing policy with the company I've had insurance with for many, many, many years. We would like you to discontinue this practice because it is irritating and frustrating for people. Signed, Juan McCartney, on behalf of everybody. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, Juan. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
It's going okay. What I'm calling the show for, because I know you have the Voice of the Bahamas move your voices and everybody here.
Okay.
And I'm calling because I know those persons that in land revenue listen to your show. And I'm saying here, yeah, please answer your phone. Answer your phone. That computer had a inch better, whatever happened, you can't get your business license renewed. You can't call nobody by phone because nobody answers no phone.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And it seems like when you go there, they're the most rudest, disgustingest person in the world. You know?
Inland Revenue?
So, Inland Revenue, both buildings. The one opposite, especially the one in Carmichael Road there, in that little plaza.
That's the main
one? Them people are just out of control. I don't know who's responsible for those folks, but they're just... They get to the point going, I kid you not, stay on your mother's grave. You believe somebody used a dirty language the other, about 2 weeks ago when I went there?
Really?
And I'm telling you, woman, I would not lie to you. A dirty language, do you hear me? And then she was put in office. You know what her excuse was? She having a horrible day. Seems like everybody come through that door and cough. You understand? And I went there to see Mr. Johnson. If you could reach to him, I don't know if I can leave my number or sign. I haven't called me. And you know, to this day, I haven't heard a word from him.
I'm so sorry.
I never, ever received a stage. There are public servants now who are working for me and who I'm paying for the use of obscene language, and nothing came out of it.
Yeah, that's strange to me. That's crazy.
I am telling you, it's like, who was over those places?
I'm so sorry. Well, I'm hoping they're listening to you, and I'm hoping they pick up the phone when you call, and I'm sorry you had that experience. Let's go to another phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? Nope. All right, cool. It says, did you see the political exposure question on the Know Your Customer form? I did see the political exposure question on the Know Your Customer form, and my thing is that there's no legislation passed that says you have to declare if you're a politically exposed person or if you know someone who's politically exposed. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes you're cool. Sometimes you just making sounds for hours, non-logical. All right, well, everybody can be a fan. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's a good day one. Why taxes always have to be raised on poor people? They need to go tax the rich. I heard the DNA talking about tax reform where it's equitable. Stop stressing out the middle class because I'm tired now. Do a corporate tax. Yep, corporate tax is not a bad idea. This says, say that all you want, Juan. The insurance companies are like other agencies who don't want to invest the cost, time, or manpower to enter your existing information into a database. They'd rather send you a fillable form. Maybe you start from scratch than simply copy and paste into their system. Yeah, but the same company I have my car insurance with, I have my home insurance with. And so I fill out a Know Your Customer form to renew my car insurance, but the exact same company wants me to fill out a Know Your Customer form for my home insurance, the exact company, right? And I say to them, why do I need to do this? Because I know the law, and the law does not require that I fill out a form declaring whether or not I'm politically exposed. And they said, well, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas requires it, and therefore we have to comply. So that's why I'm addressing the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, because it was their idea. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, Juan. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. Yeah, I listened to Mr. Philip Brave Davis, mm-hmm. and what I gathered from what he's saying, in fact, similar to the Shadow Minister of Finance, Chester Cooper, I gather they are in fact, I know, constant meetings on the national economic plan. In fact, I know Chester came out with the national economic plan now and after COVID.
I got you.
And every day they're working on the plan. That's why Mr. Davis didn't come point blank out and say they would eliminate that. All he said was they're trying to see where they can soften it a bit for the people. But because him being the leader, some persons may have this in mind that he's making this economic decision on his own. But I know that they're meeting with private economists.
Okay.
And that's what I gather from him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they got lots of economists.
They have lots of people.
The
they're meeting
know,
with
still.
The economic economists along with Chester Cooper, who's in charge of this area. And that's why you hear Brave Davis say, well, we would see what we can do to soften it. I didn't hear him say eliminate or whatever, but to help soften it a bit. And I guess they're trying to find out also what type of taxation would be suitable in this economic climate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay, so like I said, because he is the leader, people may think he's just doing something on the top of his head or just saying this or saying that. But they are in the economic discussions.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, 52, how's it going, my brother?
Yeah, all right. I actually knew Robert, man. Yeah, I know you from the guy.
Robert, really?
Pardon?
You knew Rabbit for real?
Yeah, man. Robert died about maybe more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, he used to live off Bahama Avenue, right?
West End Avenue, yeah.
Yeah, man, yeah. He was a genius.
He was good. He actually fixed my truck one time, but, you know, after a while, he gets so caught up with the drugs, you had to really watch him do the work. He fixed the steering wheel, and it came off one time I was driving, so he almost cost me my life. Mr. McCartney, I'd like to congratulate you quickly. I took a look at the Johnson & Johnson chronological manufacturing, right?
Right.
And I see why you arrived at that conclusion. So you try to make it look like you have some intellectual powers, but you try to hide it. Because, I mean, I arrive at the same conclusion. They actually did the whole chronology. They're telling you the source of the virus, all right? And they recombine it. It goes through the, when it goes into the nucleus, after it enters the cytoplasm, goes into the nucleus, it produces the mRNA. But it, I don't want to talk about it, but it actually goes through a normal procedure, a normal transcription, instead of reverse transcription.
Right.
But I'll be talking about that another day. But the lady with the financial thing down by the business license place, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went there, and I waited for a while outside, and it was kind of like, it was a little early, but they have to give you a password, a reset password, and they give you the information, a piece of paper, and I left. On the reading online, so I don't know what changed from a couple of weeks ago. You know what I mean?
I've never even been into the Department of Inland Revenue, and I've gotten stuff done. I've done it all on computer. I don't even, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Ms. McCartney, I heard you talking. Well, I heard Chester Cooper this morning on the radio, but I actually agree with what he was saying. But what happens is, I urge everybody to read The Great Reset. All right. Because you can see the book is ghost written, but it actually, they anticipated all of this. They know the fallout. They know that countries will have to draw to their reserves, even like natural resources, human capital, and it also specifies that 60%, 50% of the service economy wouldn't return. A lot of businesses are not going to return, you know. So you're looking at the whole global financial economic system. And it's not going to be the way they're saying, man, Mr. McCartney. It's going to be harder, man. It's just, we're not facing reality.
Yeah,
because you're looking at New York, and you're looking at other certain cities as examples. And then we're going to pay the price for not really educating our people in the service industry as far as like airplane mechanics, diesel mechanics, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
You too, my brother. Plenty, like, you'll be shocked if when you see how much talent came out of, let me tell you something. The drug era in this country tore a hole in this nation that has yet to properly heal or be mended. We lost so many people. And not just the drug era here, but the drug era here too compounded it. But like when we had people who would go off to the United States, get hooked on drugs, come back, or they get hooked on drugs here, and it was brilliant. And we lost them. Devastating. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn, how you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
Yeah, you know, I'm stepping back towards the PEP question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a form came home. I spoke with somebody inside the industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as if they have a category for those persons, and they assign them a high risk profile.
That's interesting. I wonder why.
Yeah. You know, no. It seems as if their fortunes swing like every 5 years.
Wow. Yeah. No. That, I understand what you're saying. But it's strange to me that they're doing that. Thank you for calling. Because there's no law that requires you to declare if you're any politically exposed person. Now, I only could imagine, in fact, I can't imagine why they're doing it, but perhaps the insurance commission is doing this because they have been informed that they're going to be passing legislation where you have to declare if you're a politically exposed person. All right, this is what the integrity bill was all about, the integrity commission that y'all never passed, by the way. Maybe, but even if they did that, it's going to take, I would say, several years possibly to put together the integrity commission to make it functional. So it's you're just frustrating everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. We'll do it for more, then we'll do text. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Can I get a comment there?
Yeah, you're on air. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, sorry, Juan. Sorry. Juan, yes, I do agree. Good afternoon, first of all, to you and your listening audience. I do agree that the drug era was cruel on mankind. You know, we lost a lot of good people to drugs, and I sympathize with the loss. One, I listened to Hubert Ingham earlier, the former prime minister, and I'm glad to hear that he is recovering. Both him and his wife. It was sad to learn that he was ill yesterday.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
I'm glad to hear that he's recovering. But one, Also, with those people with the licensing, that's inland revenue.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is now 6 weeks I applied for a license to try and get it before the deadline, and I have not got an email or a response yet.
Really?
I think I don't know what is going on there, but I think someone needs to look into it because it's really poor to see that you're not getting the service on time.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed.
Juan, let me ask you a question. Juan, you try to put it together and try understood how Mr. Davis would cut back on taxes. But he did use the word he will review VAT, and we know the way you could twist words. So by him saying review, we understand that he probably don't have no wise way of dealing with it. In terms of cutting back on VAT, because we know the way our economy is, we can't. But Juan, this is what I really need you to do. I need you to, seeing that Mr. Davis them is buying the lead this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could you, I don't know if you'll get an interview or something with them, but we need to understand how Mr. Davis and the PLP plans on, if God forbid, if they become the next government. How do they plan to bounce back the economy and do these things where they are so critical against this government with to make a better country? Because, I mean, we all going through this pandemic. We all going through the rough time. And I don't think if by changing the government, I don't think it'll just be a magical wand and everything just, straighten up.
No.
So I like to know from them because I'm not hearing how they plan on doing it.
Yeah, they haven't done it yet. They haven't come out yet with a detailed plan. They had a thing, say that there's Sunday, they're supposed to bring out a plan, which I don't know why you do that before the budget, but I guess somebody thinks that makes sense over there. We'll do a couple more calls. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good day. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm not bad.
Right.
You know, Mr. McCartney, it's just this issue on the taxation, right? Which Brave Davis and them are talking about, right? The PLP is supposed to be the progressive party. That means taxing the rich to give to the poor. That's like an income tax. Both corporate and personal, those that have the progressive one.
Mm-hmm.
You make more, you pay more. You see, those folks who make an excess of $100,000 per hour, per year, they should be paying like $30,000 in taxes. You know what I'm saying? A great percentage of this, to take care of those that don't have.
Now, what'd you say? $100,000 should pay how much?
That's 80%.
30%. Ouch. All right.
That's the way it's done.
That's steep. My brother, that's steep. I don't know. You got to show me what's going on for that.
Well, this is the reason why people that make this money, including the politicians, they don't want to tax themselves. That's being a progressive nation. You see, not increasing the VAT, if you understand me, or decreasing the VAT. You must tax the right people to take care of those who can't afford to tax themselves. What about the health care? You tie health care with the private insurers. Insurance should be a public thing. Health insurance should be a public thing. One payer, single payer system. That's progressive politics. That's what progressive parties do.
Okay.
You see, you have this livable wage. How about a $15 an hour our minimum wage? You know, these are things that the progressive Labour Party should be trying to the contract they should be signing with us. What you call it, the mandate from us.
Now you got it, man. You saying us? Nah, I shooting for 100 grand, buddy. So I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't trying to live like that. Oh, let me be like this and be no, sir. I want to make a lot of money, right? Man, maybe in the wrong profession. You got to detail that 30% for me, all right? Please. 30%? Good afternoon. Welcome. Like, what are we getting? I get to, like, I get something, we get something brand new, or I just for fun, 30%. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Juan McGartney, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going?
Wonderful. Mr. McGartney, how much does each constituency get per month for to keep the constituency running? It comes from the Ministry of Finance.
Well, they get $2,500 for the office, and they get $100. Last I checked, it's $100,000 a year for the constituency allowance.
Okay.
Why? What's
that? Wouldn't that? Do you think? Okay, because I'm wondering why nobody resigns from the Household Assembly, because they still get this money to manage those constituencies, right?
Yeah, they do, but, I mean, you got to account for that.
Well, that's my question. Are they accountable for it?
Yes, absolutely. The Auditor General audits them on it.
Okay. So do you think that because of our condition and position, it should be raised?
Do I think that the constituency allowance should be raised at this time? No.
Do you think it should be reduced because of what we're going through?
Reduced? No. Leave it where it is. That's not something that you need to fiddle with at this time.
I ask these questions because we're talking about what we should be doing at this time financially, so that we don't go any deeper inside the hole, and also to whenever we come out of this, all of us are going to be sharing the burden for whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely right. Well, this is why that Davis, Cooper, all of you guys in the PLP, I'm going to talk to you guys because you guys may be the incoming government. You're going to have to live firmly in reality. I'm not saying you're dreaming here. I'm just saying you got to live firmly in reality. All right? You still need revenue to take care of things. All right? Okay. This says, let me just do my text. I haven't been doing my text. It says, Juan, what does politically exposed mean? I mean, it's like if you are either in politics or related to someone in politics, that's what it, if you look at the integrity bill, I have to pull it up for you, the integrity bill, it says, it defines politically exposed person. It says, keep that 30% income tax collar away from the Ministry of Finance. You can have 30% of my money. Okay? To do what exactly? No. So you go. We gonna have major problems. This says live debate needed between these leaders. One, says, tell that last caller God only asked for 10%, and he talking about 30%. What is each bucket? You can't have my 30%. That's just me. You go talk. Somebody else might be with that. My goal is to make more than $100,000 a year. Much, much more if I can help it. This says insurance companies are required to report suspicious transactions to the FIU, which includes proceeds of crimes. ICB recently required procedures to ensure companies were doing necessary due diligence to detect and report. This resulted in procedures in risk rating clients in regards to this. Politically exposed persons are seen as higher risk, and so you need to ask the question to consider. The recent legislation passed to be delisted required financial services service regulators to strengthen our oversight, to strengthen oversight over this. Okay, so you're saying that if you're politically exposed, let me see if I get insurance companies are required to report suspicious transactions to the FIU Financial Intelligence Unit, which includes the proceeds of crime. ICBs recently required procedures to ensure companies were doing necessary due diligence to detect and report. This resulted in procedures in risk rating clients. PEPs are seen as higher risk, and so you need to ask the question to consider. Okay, I see. So we're risk rating clients, and the politically exposed persons determines our risk of suspicious transactions. For insurance renewal, I gotta say, I don't get that. Insurance renewal. So if I'm renewing my car insurance on the same car, I don't get it. But fair enough. If the insurance commission believes that they can get a better grasp on possible suspicious transaction by risk rating people, okay, fine. Ask me to do that once. Not a problem. So send me the form. Please fill this out as a customer of ours. We require you to fill this out as a politically exposed person. You now have my information. Then leave me alone. All right? So if the company gets my information, that should be sufficient for the company. Not on every transaction. It doesn't make sense. Since when I went to open a savings account at Commonwealth Bank, I was given out a form to fill out, and I also wanted to know if I was politically exposed. And now, you see what I'm saying, too? You do this without any public education. So you're messaging me talking about risk rating. I have no bloody idea, right, that that's what the people are trying to do now, the insurance commission, right? Nobody has any idea what a politically exposed person is outside of actually actively being in politics. If I'm in politics, does it mean I'm politically exposed? But I don't have a seat. I don't have an appointment. I don't have a position. If I'm on a statutory board, am I politically exposed? If I'm a political appointee, am I politically exposed? Where does that begin and end? And you do no public education on it, but you expect everyone to comply and start filling out forms. And if your insurance company gives you a form, you're going to fill it out because you want the insurance. Anyway, we got to get someone from the insurance commission on. Now that I've written my letter, maybe they'll respond. All right. We're going to be right back.
When Hatchet was a hammer, customs clearance was a drag. Those numbers and forms left you holding the bag. But today is a new day. There's no need to fear. Start clearing customs digitally with SWIM software. The best customs clearance software by ISL Bahamas Limited. It's easy. Just give SWIM your invoices and it automatically calculates landed fees, assigns tariffs, and transmits accurately to customs in seconds. Now, completing air manifests and cargo calculations in half the time is as fun as a day at the beach. Brokers, importers, shippers, couriers, are you drowning in an ocean of customs clearance mayhem? Relax and dive into SWIM. Call 356-5592 or visit islbahamas.com to start saving time and money with SWIM, the stress-free click-to-clear software.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim, swim.
You asked for it, and now it's here. Introducing the all-new plant-based Rebel Whopper only at Burger King NASA. The new Rebel Whopper is everything you expect in a Whopper with a meatless plant-based patty that is flame-grilled to perfection with all the fixins you love on that famous sesame seed bun. Come try out the new Rebel Whopper with fries and a Pepsi and see if you can tell the difference. The Rebel Whopper is 100% Whopper, 0% beef, and only at Burger King NASA, where taste is king.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due.
Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution. I can't take any more calls, unless it's the insurance commission. I'm going to go through my text messages. Let's start from the back. Jesus, a lot. You're trying to lose track of my text messages again. Pleasant, good day, Juan. Great response to that person's comments. I totally agree with you. Each person has his, her own opinion on any matter. Exactly. Jeff Lloyd says, paid for in full. He's very careful in his wording. I love it. He says, shouldn't the Minister of Education know it should be my wife and me, not me and my wife? Zaha, just kidding. I'm not the grammar police for real. It says three words, black crab syndrome. Yeah, these texts were coming in when I was talking about just smearing these people. Hey, Juan, do you know if the same contractor for the school was the contractor who built the house? I don't understand these people. But ain't nobody gave me the name of nobody who built no house. Ain't nobody gave me the name of no contractor who built no school. I mean, give me some information. Juan, why are you surprised that this is going on? This is silly season. It happens under every administration. It's silly season talk. More talks coming. Juan, I repeat, we really need more people to get sued for slander, defamation, and libel in this country. Calling people corrupt without evidence should not be tolerated. Shame on us. We need to remember the golden rule. Since I was telling a friend today that it is possible to attain a house with an MP and cabinet minister's salary, the nonsense is what the Antons of the country spread daily. Many in this administration are being attacked daily with no facts, so Lloyd is not special, and I am not surprised. He says, boy, hope they remember when Shane Gibson built his house, the F&M trolls didn't have a problem taking him to war. I'm not sorry for them. Don't play coy now. Don't do it to Shane Gibson either. If you ain't got no proof, you dragged a man before court, couldn't prove him guilty. Juan, we have a problem. We black Bahamians have a problem with black Bahamians having money. We don't believe we could have money without being crooked or doing something illegal. It's okay to be black and work for nice things. Exactly. It says, Rabbit grew up through West End Avenue off Market Street. His name was Francis Lunn. He was also a good artist. Sad story. I went to school with him. So you see, I'm not making up Rabbit. Rabbit was, he was brilliant, man. Juan, please stop capping for your corrupt F&M friends. Okay. You know you can't go in with 70,000 income, not savings, and after 3 years, you put in $250,000 down on a property and building. We ain't even pay you that much. You can do it. I'm not caping for anybody. You can do it. If you're smart, I built a house on my guardian salary. Right? I'm still paying for it, but it can be done. You can be black and have a career and build a house and not be a thief. It's possible. If you try, where's the Public Disclosure Commission? Right somewhere where Miles wrote up, not giving us information. As a public official, if you're building a house that's more than 6 times your annual salary without a bank involvement and 10 times more than your assets you began your public life with, then the public needs to question your access to those funds. Well, fair enough, but y'all gonna have to get your story straight. So one story is one politician building a house with no mortgage, then the next story come out, the same politician building a house off the mortgage from a credit union. So which is it? They building the house with the mortgage or without the mortgage? It says, "Hi, I agree with you. Any foreigner can start building anything and we don't question. But the minute Juan or Shane start building, everyone want to ask who you think you are to start building." It says, "Why did I not see you sleeping at that station this weekend? You keep talking your wife business." It says, "Nah, Juan, you sure that wasn't you in the car?" "It wasn't me, Shaggy." It says, "We're getting bad publicity because no one explains this to the foreigners regarding our problem with these people. Someone needs to respond to immigration." Okay, I'll read that a little later. That's a lot to get into right now. Okay, Juan, you're telling me all Davis can promise is a review? That's all he's promising people is to review with a so-called effort, man, I gee. Tell him to keep his review. That'll probably take 5 years to complete. We need people with actual solutions now. It says, if he's trying to alleviate the suffering in us, he should make government contract bidding open and more transparent for all to see. Start there, and we can save millions. It says, "Juan, how are you? Too straight. All right. Juan, these clowns ain't moving anything. It's just getting me elected talk as soon as they're in. It's the treasury broke, and they didn't know. They can fool y'all, but not me, jokey leader." And, you know, if Davis becomes prime minister and he goes, we didn't know, then I'll go, oh, that's fair enough. You didn't know, okay? Because you don't know. And that's why I don't know why it is you're taking that particular tack or holding so tightly onto that particular facet of it, because you don't know what you're going to find. You can say what you will do, but you don't know in which state you'll find things. You might have to end up raising some taxes. It's the policy of the insurance company, so you comply or change companies. It may be that your info has changed since you last renewed. Ain't nothing changed since I last renewed except the year. As corporate tax, my business of 10 employees have been paying $10,000 business license fee for 30 years, and we get nothing in return. We pay NIB and $5,000 duty per month. If we pay corporate tax, we close. Well, you wouldn't be paying your business license and your corporate tax. All right. Juan, the people who advise them on the Know Your Customer form advises company HR departments to ask you to email your resume in, then type everything in your resume into a form, right? Like, how about this? How about this? And let's meet in the middle, right? At the same time, you go for a bank account. I mean, you could do this if you were smart and you could do it with your NIB number, right? Like you have your social security number in the United States, but we need to complicate it, so let's go the complicated route. Every time I open up a bank account, send that to a government agency that will issue me a tax identification number, and I fill out one form to renew my tax identification number every year, and everybody has it, and leave me alone, right? Just leave me alone. I don't want to fill out any more forms. Nothing. Juan, what is needed is a review of real property tax. I believe a review would undoubtedly reveal an underperformance. If you notice lately, there have been several articles in the press surrounding real property tax. Even the IMF has hinted that real property tax could be bolstered. Yeah. McCartney, the millionaires will never implement income tax, so what do we do now? I don't know. That's a good discussion to have. We'll have that shortly, hopefully. Good afternoon, Juan. Tell the lady to call 604-8072. At Inland Revenue, they answer this line. Business license said they have a backlog of cases, so that's why things are taking long. Good afternoon, Juan. Good show as usual. I just had to message a big LOL for the laugh that lady caller gave me. Economic economist. Ah, well, you keep on keeping on, you talking talk show host. This is a globe emoji. I don't understand what that is. It says, good afternoon, Juan. Regarding business license at Inland Revenue, I applied for my business license online January 14th, 2021. I received my business license certificate electronically January 24th, 2021. I had absolutely no problem with Inland Revenue nor the process. I do this annually without any issues. Yeah, I have not spoken to anyone in Inland Revenue regarding anything to do with business license for ages. It's all computer. Brave Davis trying to sell the people dreams about this VAT talk. We'll say anything to be voted back in office. We're no fools. Stop thinking. We have first name call donkey. I mean, it don't sound like he promising nothing except a review. You ain't got, I could do that for you. I can help you with that. Says the requirement to request due diligence for insurance companies was included in the compendium of financial services bills that were passed recently. It's part of the Know Your Clients doctrine and prevent money laundering. So they say it's all a part of the legislation. No. Now, I'm going to disagree with you unless you show me where politically exposed persons is defined in law in the Bahamas. In terms of financial service company, I need to see that. Particularly something that would have passed recently in order to prompt the insurance commission to do this. The other thing the guy said, the texter said, is fine. But you're saying it's part of the compendium of legislation that politically exposed persons now declare. Is that what you're saying? Because I didn't see that, and I read those bills. Says PLP introduced VAT. They're not about to do away with it. They're bringing Al-Qaeda back. They have no problem with VAT. Says 30%. One of these people is smoking. That's 30 G's. They must have didn't do math. Pay me 99,000 instead, please. Yeah, because I'm going to tell you. This is where you get tax evasion, right? So there's my tax evasion. If I make $99,999, I don't pay income tax. I pay $0 on that. But if I make one more dollar, you want me to pay you $30,000 on that? You're never going to get people to comply with that. Never. You're going to defeat the... All you're going to get is tax evasion, period. It says, me and my wife is accepted in standard English. Also, my wife and I is accepted. I agree with you. The fundamental question is whether the transaction in question can give rise to money laundering. It really only should apply to annuities. I don't know how renewing my car insurance is going to be money laundering or be a suspicious transaction. It says, one, insurance companies are like banks. The crooks make lump sum payments to mortgages. These peeps put ill-gotten assets in family members' names. They make it hard for all of us. This is one, it's the optics. Why use a person you give government contacts to while you're still in office to do personal stuff for you? That person should know better. Man, I don't know that they did that. That's just, y'all just saying that. Juan, folks keep beating up the PLP for no plan, but the FNM in power, and they ain't saying nothing. Stop the biasness. Why this current government is not being asked? Boy, I'm asking for the plan, because I sure didn't have no plan yesterday. Maybe we'll hear one Monday. It says, hi, Juan, it's not in legislations, but in regulations by the regulator, i.e. the insurance commission, hence all company are do it mandated to know your customers. Well, it's pissing me off, all right? So that's... This is... Yo. My grandparents grew up on Cat Island. They couldn't read, write, or do math. They were subsistence farmers. You don't know this story by now? We've heard this story enough that we should all know it by now. And he knocked on everyone's door. Yes? It says the registry issues are business license services, not inland services. It says, but seriously, one, who was that woman you were driving around with in your car? Don't worry, it's between them. Can't do nothing right, eh? Yeah. That's why I can't do nothing. People watching me. You see me on the road in a car. Someone messes me, but they see me coming out of the gas station. I ain't watching y'all. I mean, you know, that's just me. Anyway, we're out of show. We got to go. Maybe Lang will have someone from the insurance commission on today for Financial Services Week, and they could explain it to us. That's going to do it. You guys take care out there. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, Bahamas.